And good morning. Thank you so much, JP, for the kind introduction. It's a beautiful day. You know what I'm attracted to? I love to walk over to the front door of the radio station. Of course, now there's a restaurant blocking my view, sort of. Anyway, I saw it this morning. There is a golden orange light on the edge of the horizon under the clouds. Yay! You know, your body is basically a light-gathering organism. This is just nuts. Where did we get the idea that we need to be indoors all day long? Where did you get the idea that you've got to be completely 82 degrees 24/7? Now, this is only my opinion, but that's just nuts. Your body needs to experience a little bit of heat, a little bit of cold. I'm not saying extremes in temperature, but you've got to have these things to put a little bit of stress on your body so your body can function its very best. Yes, there are certain forms of stress that probably, if they go on too long, they will destroy you. But there are forms of stress like exposing your body to a little bit of cold, exposing your body to heat, that actually ends up helping improve the way that your body functions. Does that make sense? Could you imagine what it would be like if you never had any challenges? It'd be pretty dull pretty quick, wouldn't it? Well, these are things that you need. If you spend your days sitting in front of a television letting the news tell you what's going on in the world, then I can only imagine you've got a very negative view of the events of humanity. What if you didn't watch TV? What if you started reading things that would cause you to learn and to grow, things that would stretch you? Well, I listen to a radio program almost every Saturday morning as I come to the radio station. Maybe not every Saturday, but I'd say half the time. And I just like to hear what the experts are saying. The one thing that I never, ever hear discussed on the radio is how do you make a human being strong? Never hear that topic at all. I don't hear the topic of rejuvenation. I don't hear the topic of vitality. I certainly don't hear the topic of how do you produce fabulous energy? How do you make a human being strong? How do you make the liver strong? Nope, I don't hear that at all. Basically, in a nutshell, I hear tactics that are based on tremendous fear. I don't know about you, but I am not interested in being in prison the rest of my life. Do you want to live a life of regrets where you look back and say, hey, 2020 was the year that I spent three quarters of the year in lockdown? I don't know. Do you know anybody that's in lockdown right now? I do. It's got to be the loneliest thing of all time. Well, let me get right into the topic. Here's what I was thinking about. Last night, I got on the computer, and I was trying to determine, or I was asking myself a question. And one of the aspects of weakness that kind of popped in my head, and this is not meant to be judgy or picking on anybody at all, but I started thinking, okay, if there was a lab test that could measure the strength of the nervous system, well, what would that look like? Well, I don't know that that really exists the way that I want it to. I mean, it does, but it's not easily available for everyone to participate in. But if you were to go to a doctor and they did a standard metabolic panel or blood chemistries, one of the tests on there would be called GFR. That stands for glomerular filtration rate. To me, it is super accurate. And so let me just tell you what the normal number is. Normal or perfect would be the number 100. Now, some of this is my interpretation. So give me just a little bit of artistic license here. So if you ask the doctor, how are my kidneys doing? And they might say, or the doctor, she may tell you, hey, they're doing great. Your GFR is exactly at 100. That's perfect. You can go, oh, man, that's good to know. I was concerned about them. You know, my parents had kidney problems. I didn't want to follow the same course. Well, if you have that test and it comes back that you're at the number 60 on GFR, that means your kidneys are operating at 60%. I don't know. Do you think you should pay attention to that? Well, if it was at 59, that would be considered stage 1 renal failure or kidney failure. Not a fun thought to think about. And so there's that. If you went to a cardiologist and they did a echocardiogram, they might say, hey, your echocardiogram is at the ejection fraction is right at 62%. Well, that's a good number. Or 65%, that's a good number. If I'm not mistaken, maybe even the number 55, 56, 57, 58 are good numbers. They're showing that your heart is working adequately. But if it came back that your ejection fraction was right at 9% or 11%, hey, that's cardiac failure right there. You have heard of people having congestive heart failure. Well, the reason why I'm kind of discussing this is just kind of laying a little bit of framework for you. Everybody wants to know how their body's functioning and what can the, and your best play is to be positive here. What are you going to do to improve the health of your body? Let me run this past you. I am on the computer last night, and I'm asking the question, what about sleep apnea? Now, let me flesh this out. You have in your body what's called your autonomic nervous system. Your autonomic nervous system is completely responsible for breathing while you're asleep. It's also responsible for how your heart beats. It's responsible for your brain function, all these things that take place automatically. You don't have to think about it. Now, the point that I'm getting to is this. If your autonomic nervous system is working at 100%, kind of like I'm referring to the heart earlier as my example, or the kidneys, then everything's good. So, if your autonomic nervous system is working properly, this means your breathing is going to be really, really good tonight. So here's the article that I looked up. I asked the question, what about sleep apnea? And so let me frame it this way. With sleep apnea, your body is literally struggling to breathe at night. That is not a good situation to be in. That is not. It's horrible. The thing of it is, on the radio program I listened to, they were talking about the moment you stop, if you even skip using your CPAP machine for one night, you start back to ground zero. And I thought, dude, they're not really even addressing the root cause of the problem. You've really only got one play here. Why don't we find a way to improve the function of your autonomic nervous system? I'd like it to work at 100%, not 40%. Not 30. So in this article, I didn't copy it off last night because it was kind of late, and I thought to myself, hey, I'll just come back to it, which I've done that before. I don't always come back to it as fast as I'd like. But it was showing that in some people, just giving these people vitamin B1, which is called thiamine, would correct sleep apnea. I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is huge. And I think one of the main points that I'm getting to, you have got to have what's called vitamin B1 or thiamine to have a strong, healthy, robust function of your autonomic nervous system. And so your autonomic nervous system, that's what automatically, the part of your nervous system that unconsciously controls your heartbeat and your breathing. Every aspect of your digestion, how you eliminate. That means, do you have quality bowel movements or do you have trouble with constipation or looseness of the stool? It's 100% of your bladder control. If you don't think this is a problem, just go with me to the store. you're going to find out real quick there is an aisle that sells diapers for babies, and there is an aisle in the store that sells diapers for adults. And I've asked the ladies at the checkout, which ones do they sell the most of? And they say, hands down. I already know you know this. It's going to be diapers for adults. So if you've lost control of your bladder, if you either have loose stools or diarrhea, if your heart's not functioning properly, if you have an issue with sleep apnea, oh my goodness, what if you were low in vitamin B1? Now, one of the reasons why I'm saying this is, let me just run this past you real quick. Even the simple sense of touch, you've got to have vitamin B1 or your autonomic nervous system to be able to feel things, to taste things, just to be able to smell things. You got to have vitamin B1. One of the reasons why there's such a high correlation between vitamin B1 deficiency and the development of Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's, it is huge. Huge. In my mind right now, I'm thinking of a family member that's in a wheelchair. They're so physically weak, they can't even hardly stand to go to the bathroom. You know the deficiency disease called beriberi? That's a B1 deficiency. I think that comes from the African dialect called Swahili, which means, well, when they say the word beriberi, that means I can't. Literally, you just want to think of an image of a person that has beriberi. They try to get up and walk across the street, and they just collapse and drop. Have you ever been sick in bed with the flu before, and you literally, it took every fiber of your being, every drop of intestinal fortitude, just to get up and go to the bathroom? And you thought to yourself, I can't do it. I cannot get up. That's kind of what I'm talking about here. That may not be a fair analogy, but that's one analogy. Did you know that a vitamin B1 deficiency is linked with depression, sleep disturbance? Either someone cannot sleep or they want to oversleep too much. That can all be the same thing, a lack of enough B1 to help feed and nourish and regulate your autonomic nervous system. Mental confusion. You ever heard of a person repeating themselves over and over again? You're thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, they're developing dementia. They keep saying the same thing over and over again. Well, you know that memory loss is one of the greatest aspects of Alzheimer's disease or dementia. Well, you've got to have vitamin B1 just so you can absorb and assimilate vitamin B12. And B12 has been shown over and over to be a big-time player when it comes to some forms of neurological degenerative disease. I read an article that said alcohol consumption has gone up 500%. Since the coronavirus lockdown. Now, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the coronavirus is an RNA virus. Essentially, it's a virus that causes the cold, or causes the common cold. I know that's not going to sit well with people because they want to believe this virus is so wicked and so over the top. But let me explain it to you this way. If you go into an illness and you're like under massive amounts of stress, especially for a woman, women get so much more autoimmune disease than men could ever start thinking about. And stress a lot of times will cause a tremendous disruption in female hormones. So it's so important to get that under control. But to give your body a chance, it's got to be well nourished. You really think that you can nourish your body by drinking Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper and call it good? Mm-mm. You ever heard of drinking water or herbal tea? So let me just go down the top things. Most physicians have heard of the idea of an individual that drinks huge amounts of alcohol. I had a man come to see me not that long ago, and on his sheet of paper, on his entrance form, he wrote down the number 17. I said, what does the 17 represent? I said, do you drink 17 beers a month, 17 beers a week? He says, no, I drink 17 every day. Well, that would be an example of a boatload of refined carbohydrates and alcohol that would rapidly deplete his body from its stores or reserves of vitamin B1. I don't really think that your body holds a lot in reserve, maybe a little bit. But under the right circumstances, if you're stressed enough, if your diet is basically a high-calorie carbohydrate diet, that is definitely going to cause a loss of vitamin B1. You know what's going to suffer? Your autonomic nervous system. This has to do with how well your body can heal and repair itself. Does that make sense? I read this right here in a textbook. It said a B1 shortage is associated with loss of speech, unstable walking, which is a medical term called ataxia, muscle shrinkage, which is called atrophy. Dude, you know as well as I do, you have been to the grocery store and you've seen a very sweet little older gentleman or an older lady, and they were rail thin. They had next to no muscle on their bones. Well, that's what you see when they have a B vitamin deficiency. I have read in many textbooks that a lack of vitamin B1 can present a very similar problem. You know, why did we lose our way? Do you really think that a deficiency of drugs is what leads to, a loss of health? Heck no, it has nothing to do with it. When you literally start becoming deficient in B vitamins, your body starts wasting away into nothingness. The other day I read an article, and to me this article was so intriguing and so fascinating. It said they could predict with great accuracy which older people were going to take a nosedive and when they were going to take a nosedive when it came to their health. Or what I mean is, if someone is 75, and this is just my example, if someone is, say, 75, 78 years of age, and they can drive themselves to the store, and they can cook their own foods, and they can take and make a garden, and they can cover the dirt with wood chips, because I've learned that the dirt wants to be covered with a covering. And if they can do all the things, take care of themselves, and they're in great working order, right? You admire them. You say, man, I want to age like them. I want to be just like Jim when I get older. Well, to make a long story short, if they measure the flora, I'm talking about the beneficial microorganisms or the microbiome that's in their gut, if there is a terrible, terrible die-off of beneficial bacteria in the gut, that's one of the greatest predictors of health is going to go south really, really quick. And so if you know of a person, we'll just call them we'll call him James for short. James is 75. He's in great working order. And then all of a sudden, bam, within 2 weeks, he becomes very physically weak. He becomes disoriented. He doesn't have the strength that he used to. You know as well as I do, physically being inactive or being sedentary is a death sentence. It's horrible what it does to the body. You go down a hill fast, but they can predict all that. If you have some event that takes place within your body and there is a terrible die-off of beneficial microbes, you're going downhill fast. So how do we say this in reverse? The more diverse, good, beneficial colonies of bacteria that you have in your gut, the better your health is going to be. And one of the reasons behind that is, if you give good food to your body, and this could be everything from kimchi and sauerkraut and pickles, and if you love to eat vegetables like Brussels sprouts and kale and what else am I thinking of? Sweet potatoes, blueberries, strawberries. These are things that cause the beneficial bacteria to have food, and then in turn what they do is they make vitamins for you. I know this seems like kind of a hardcore concept, but if you put good food in your body, you give the bacteria in your gut something to work with. You give them nutrition where they in turn can ferment that stuff and they can make B vitamins for you. See, technically, you may not actually have to get all your B vitamins from the food that you eat. I know, I've already talked to some doctors and other healthcare experts in the past. They kind of think the idea because Lucky Charms cereal or Fruit Loops is fortified with B vitamins, we should call it good. No. That's not how it works. You cannot produce radiant health by putting a bowl of Fruit Loops in front of a kid and saying, here, eat your breakfast. I know there's stressful circumstances where you might be tempted to do that at times, but day in, day out, you cannot produce radiant health in a human being. You can't produce great mental health, cannot produce great emotional health or physical health. How else do you want to say it? So drinking alcohol causes a tremendous loss in B12. I would imagine the liquor stores are selling more than they ever have right now because the country and the world as a whole is very, very depressed and down. I don't think the world should be, but then again, you know, it's just my opinion. I think what we should do is take a step back and say, okay, what can I do to greatly help myself here? Well, if you want to improve your health, it's going to be because of what you put in your body, at least part of it. Yes, it's true. Your mindset is huge. If you have a negative mindset and you expect things are going to go bad and you're going to live in fear, it's going to be a problem. Your body's not going to work so well. Let me go back to the CPAP machine and the sleep apnea just for a second. This I found intriguing, okay? In reading an article about thiamine and the use of CPAPs, it said that patients that were in a hospital with low levels of thiamine, they will need to consciously control their breathing, and they may die of breathlessness if they try to go to sleep. Isn't that interesting? If you are on a typical American high carbohydrate diet, if you're drinking lots of tea, oh my goodness, I could just drive by, I'll just call it a chicken restaurant, and I see these jugs of sweet tea that are handed to the customers in the drive-thru. Sometimes it's two or three jugs. You know, sweet tea, 1 gallon, $2.99. And that's not from the children's menu either. When you consume tea and sugar in that high a quantity, it's going to cause a massive B1 loss. Always want to remind myself, in order to take sugar or carbohydrates, and that could be even carbohydrates from things like rice or grains, if you're going to convert carbohydrates into energy, you got to have B1 in order to do that. See, this is one of the reasons why that diabetics have such a rough go when it comes to healing. They have used up all the reserves of vitamin B1. When a diabetic is low in B1, here's what's going to happen. They're going to eventually lose their ability to have great feeling in their toes and their feet. I talked to a woman on the phone this week, and this is what she told me. She said, I don't have any diabetic neuropathy. I said, oh, you don't? She said, but I have all these ulcers and abscesses on my feet. I said, really? Anyway, you know what I was going to say. I eventually got to the part of the topic where, and I know this is counterintuitive to just probably everybody else but me, unless you put a little bit of stress on the feet, you cannot grow brand new nerves and blood vessels to recondition the feet. You can't. And one of the ways of doing that is just walking barefoot. And see, here's what she told me. She said, listen, I have great feet. I don't have diabetic neuropathy. There's no problems with my feet. I said, excuse me? You've got abscesses and sores on your feet, and you think you don't have neuropathy? Anyway, what the mind does is sometimes you can kind of trick and fool yourself and not into believing that things are not quite as bad as what they really are. But what do we need to do? We just need brutal honesty here. Call it for what it is. And so when I told this lady that I wanted her to start walking around the house barefoot, she said, I can't do that. I said, why not? She said, are you kidding me? My feet will hurt so bad. I'm going, ma'am, that really illustrates my main point. Your feet are not in good shape. So, oh, I told her exactly what to do and how to do it. Did you know that people that walk barefooted some during the day, they have twice as many arteries and twice as many nerves and veins and lymphatic vessels as someone that always walks around with shoes on? You have got to start walking barefoot. I know what you're thinking. I'm not doing it unless my podiatrist or doctor says so. All right. Do what you want to do. It's your body. But you've got to put some stress on the body to get it to respond in a good, healthy way. I mean, really, is this ain't a rocket science conversation, is it? If you want to join me on the radio, please feel free to call. I just looked at the clock. I've been rambling for 25 minutes now. The number here at the station, this program is Health Essentials, but the number of the station, if you want to call in and ask me a question, what if you're motivated to improve your health? Well, why don't we find a way of doing that together? The number is 903-586-5257, and there is a phone line open, so I know I can just reach over and push that button pretty easily. Wait a second. It's like, no, I got to lean a little bit. Okay, here goes. All righty. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. How are you today? Oh, Happy New Year to you.
What I was calling about is my husband was diagnosed with COPD, and I didn't know what he could do to improve his lungs.
Does he smoke?
About 40 years ago.
Okay. The COPD, it can totally disappear. He can go back for a test, and the doctor will say, we don't know what happened to you. COPD is gone. You want to know how to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, here goes. I need to talk him into eating one apple a day. Oh. Now, some of that is based on research from Scotland, and they showed that eating an apple a day, people mysteriously all of a sudden had the best lung health of all time, those that ate an apple a day. And I thought to myself, really? Does it have to be that complicated? Oh. And so when you eat an apple, make sure that you include the skin. The skin has very unique polyphenol compounds that are very, very good for the lungs.
Okay.
That sound good?
Yeah.
There you go. The other vegetable that's so good for the lungs is broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
he
goodness.
He loves broccoli.
Oh, we can do it. There is a... Let me give you an idea. I'm trying to remember the name of the test. It's called, my mind's playing a trick on me. But basically, it's called the breath-holding test. What you do is you take off and you start walking. And you walk mm-hmm. while you're holding your breath, and you just try to count how many steps or how long can you hold your breath for. And that's a very good indication of how strong the lungs are. But to make a long story short, your husband needs to set his mind like Flint that he is going to start doing some breathing exercises. Mm-hmm. You know what the simplest one is? Mm-hmm. Walking briskly, if he can do that. Can he do that?
Oh, sure.
Oh, good.
Been too.
And so if he could start walking briskly, I would say most of my personal experience is going to be if a person can walk briskly every day, after 3 months, their lungs are going to be quite a bit stronger.
Wow.
The other thing is this. A long time ago, they had this very high-tech piece of equipment. It's called a fabric measuring tape. I'm just laughing because it costs like maybe a dollar at Walmart. Wow. You know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Uh-huh.
What you do is you put that around a person's chest, mm-hmm. and you have them exhale every square inch or drop of air they can. And once they blow out fully, then you just wrap that sucker around the chest and you cinch it up and you find out, okay, that's exactly 39 inches. And while you're holding it, you have them breathe and try to expand the ribs as much as possible. If they cannot expand by a minimum of 3 inches, then that means they're headed toward a lung infection. because the lungs are the largest organ of detoxification in the body. And one of the aspects of the lungs is they get rid of a lot of the toxic waste that's produced by viruses and bacteria. So this is my opinion. Yes, there are times that I have been forced to wear a mask. I have no choice. But 99.9% of the time, I do not. Now, do I hang around people in the front of the store that are coughing and have green goo coming out of their nose? Well, maybe I do. No, I don't. I'm just joking about that. But if his lungs, if he can't fully expand his lungs by a minimum of 3 inches, then we got to work on that. Now, here's the way that I'm looking at this. If this was 35 years ago, I'd say, you know what, I could understand why somebody wouldn't know this information. But today, are you kidding me? You can get on your smartphone right now and you could type in, what lung exercises do I do if I have COPD? And oh my goodness, you know how many videos that you would get from YouTube? It's incredible. So he's got to strengthen his ribs, his diaphragm, his lungs, his trapezius, latissimus dorsi, scalene muscles. There's only one way through this, and that's to get stronger. How old is he?
Yeah. He's 72.
Okay. There is one supplement that I have used over and over and over for COPD. And let me just tell you one story. I had a truck driver come to see me. He says, oh my goodness. He said, I'm in a bad place. I said, what's wrong? He said, I've been tested to have COPD. I'm going to lose my job. He said, I can't afford to do that. I said, I agree. I said, let's fix it. And so this supplement is called Emphoplex. E-M-P-H. Hang on, I'm going to have to spell it. Okay, I've got it. E-M-P-H-A-P-L-E-X. Emphoplex.
Emphoplex.
After using that for 1 month, I think I used maybe 9 capsules a day just because I thought, hey, we can't goof off here. One is not going to get the job done. You know, there's 2 or 3 ways to look at this. Some people have the mindset that more is better, and sometimes that's true. And some people say, well, I'll just take one. That may not be enough to therapeutically get your husband from where he is to where he wants to be. So somewhere between 6 to 9 a day of Emphoplex for about a month. Oh, I bet you anything, his lungs. And this truck driver, within 3 weeks, he went back and he was retested, and they said this, sir, obviously we made a mistake. We read this, you know, it's gone now. You don't have COPD. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But that's called healing. What happened was we created circumstances for the lungs to heal. And so the lungs have got to have a healthy gut. There is a substance called surfactant that coats the inside of the lungs, and it really aids in breathing. Well, that's produced by gut microbes and gut bacteria, just like sebum that covers your skin to keep your skin radiant and healthy. That's produced by gut bacteria. And so whatever you do with your husband, we got to get some more good gut bacteria to strengthen his lungs. And so an apple a day. He can eat broccoli every day if he wants. Personally, if it were me, I'd cut out grains and sugar. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but how desperately does he want to heal?
It's getting where it worries me because he's breathing. We went to Silver Dollar City, Branson, Missouri, a couple months back. Well, you know, it's up and downhill. You walk, walk, walk. Well, he couldn't breathe, and we had to sit down. And I was going to let me go get help to get you out of here because he's never done that before. He's always had issues breathing. It really scared me really bad because he had never done that. So it was like, oh my gosh.
He couldn't breathe. How many rounds of antibiotics has he had in his lifetime?
Not very many. He's had upper respiratory infection three times last year.
Okay, so 3 times last year he suffered with upper respiratory tract infections that required antibiotics, right?
Yes.
Well, there's only one way through it. We're going to have to run toward it and attack it and get better. And so the way through that is just focusing on a high vegetable intake. I mean, the vegetables that are higher in sulfur are going to work so much better for him. That's going to be broccoli and cabbage and kale and Brussels sprouts.
Well,
and
just had a big batch of cabbage, and we love kale, and I've got a big old bowl of apples staring at me right now.
You mean they have eyeballs?
Yes, we're looking at them.
Oh, wow.
That makes me a little bit nervous.
You know what? I had a woman last week. I was talking to her about this, almost the same topic. She said, would a fried apple pie from McDonald's work? I'm going, no.
Sugar.
And so he's got to have a mindset right now that he's going to go into training and get over this. And so if he could start consuming what's called mullein tea, surely that'll help.
Okay. I'll try.
But Enfaplex is the key.
Enfaplex.
You know, have you ever heard of me talk about tuberculosis in the past?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, well, let me just make it real short. Tuberculosis can affect any organ system in the body. I mean, you could have your liver could die from these tuberculin, you know, nodules, and the liver can just destroy it. But as a general rule, when I think of tuberculosis, I always think, hey, it's going to hit the lungs pretty doggone hard. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a boy, my mother would tell me stories of our family members from California that had to be quarantined in these tuberculosis sanitariums. And you've heard of a sanitarium, haven't you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, it's going to be where somebody with tuberculosis has to go off, and they have to live and stay there and be quarantined. Mm. Why do you want them hacking and coughing like Doc Holliday at a poker table in, and you know, Dodge City or something? Well, actually, it would be the Tucson, Arizona. Anyway, or Flagstaff. But to make a long story short, it was the ones that had the greatest exposure to sunlight that were healed the fastest. And so, you know what your husband really needs? If we could do what's called dry skin brushing over his lungs, I can tell right now he's going to be screaming and complaining, but you just ignore his screams for help and just do it anyway. Get a dry, bristle, hard skin brush and just go to town on his lungs. He'll thank you for it later. But he needs to go outside without a shirt
on. Well, he's an outside person.
Well, he needs to take his shirt off.
Yeah, I think we need to fly down to Florida or somewhere and just stand in the sun for a couple of weeks.
Ma'am, I'm telling you right now, 38 degrees is just about the right temperature for him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He could totally handle it, couldn't he?
I don't know.
What's your thermostat set on right now?
Right now, it's always on 69.
Oh, good. Good. Mm-hmm. I like that. Not too hot.
No, we don't even have a heater in our bedroom. We do not sleep with heat in the bedroom.
Good. His lungs are made of 98% pure water. So what should he be drinking?
Water.
That's it. Is he well hydrated?
Yes, we drink a lot of water. I drink lemon water, fresh lemons. I buy lemons, and we drink. I try to be healthy. He just said the other day, made the remark of going off sugar completely. Getting rid of, you know, just whatever has a little sugar in it, natural sugar, you're going to get it. But
I'm not really worried about the amount of sugar that comes from an apple a day.
No.
Or if you were to eat a prune or a fig, something like that. That doesn't disturb me at all.
Yeah.
What I'm disturbed about is the high refined grains, like pasta and sweets. Bread and noodles and everything they used
cookies.
To make sweets. Well,
who doesn't? Cookie jar. He has a big glass cookie jar beside his bed.
You know what, if I could talk him into, are you saying there's a glass cookie jar beside his bed?
Yes, full of cookies.
Okay. You know what you could do just for kicks?
What?
Take some super glue, or it's called JB Weld, and just attach that to the glass lid and just watch him and just see what happens. I mean, what could go wrong, right?
Right.
You know, one time I was driving across the Neches River and I hit a buzzard.
Oh, no.
Not on purpose. What am I going to do? You're going across the river. It's not like you can swerve to avoid him. I used J.B. Weld to reattach the mirror.
Oh,
that stuff works.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, do you think he would notice, you know, before the end of the day if there was some J.B. Weld holding the glass lid to the cookie jar? You think he'd notice that?
Oh, yeah, he would probably figure it out.
Well, you know what? You just got to make sure that the receipt and the bag from Walmart is hidden. That way he won't put two and two together that you did it.
Yeah. Our great-grandson already knows. When he comes in, he runs right to our bedroom and points at the cookie jar.
Really? How old is he?
He's two.
Two. Well, there's another reason to use J.B. Weld on it to save him, too.
Yes.
I'm telling you, sugar is like crack cocaine. It's highly addictive.
I know.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I hope this helps a whole bunch.
Okay, I got a plus for you. I listened to you last Saturday, I believe, And I started taking the B1 because I have fibromyalgia, a lot of pain, and they had me on a prescription. And
really?
I haven't taken my prescription in 4 days because I take B1.
Well, what's happened? Do you have anything positive to say about it?
Yes, I don't have my pain like I was having.
Wait a second. I think I had wax on my ear. What did you say again? Repeat that, please. What happened to your pain?
It went away. I don't have the pain like I was having.
But, ma'am.
I haven't taken my medication.
But, ma'am, I don't think you understand what's at play here. What you're doing is medically impossible. This is impossible. Right. It can't be done.
Uh-huh. People look at me like, huh, what? I said, I'm not taking for my doctor. I'm going off of it.
Well, you know what? I'm your doctor, right?
Yes.
There you go. Way to go. Isn't that great? Now, here's what I'm curious about. How many people are listening right now? They know somebody has either fibromyalgia,
mm-hmm.
or they have heard of a family member with fibromyalgia. Well,
mm-hmm.
if they heard what you said, there's absolutely no harm in trying B1.
That's what I thought. I went straight to the store the next day, bought it, started taking it, and I stopped taking my prescription medicine.
What was the name of the drug?
It's duloxetine. I can't say it.
That's all right.
It causes cancer.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's why I did not want to take it.
Well, you know what? I'm very, very pleased with you because you're willing to at least look at something for what it is. And I know
yes.
you don't want to get cancer because of the side effect of a drug.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? The very thing they give to control pain is the very thing that causes cancer?
Yes, and that's not good. I tell people and they look at me like, I'm not stop taking that medicine. I'm like, huh.
Have you ever heard that cancer treatments might be the most high profit business on the planet? Have you ever heard that before?
I wouldn't doubt it. Yes.
Well, I mean, the illegal business.
Yes.
I mean, not illegal.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure selling drugs and moonshine makes more profit. I don't even know why I said moonshine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really appreciate your phone call a whole bunch.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're doing great. Keep up the good work, young lady.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Man, isn't that good feedback? I love that. Oh, she's so sweet. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Oh, my gosh. I just, by circumstance, I came across your channel, and I'm so thankful I did. I have a very dear friend who is in her 70s, and she just told me, because I've been calling her and telling her to get back on B vitamins, and she just told me that her doctor recommended her to get off of it because by the time you reached age 50, your body stops absorbing it. Is that true?
That might be the biggest nonsense baloney I've heard in a long time. That's not even reality. You know, every time that I turn around, I think, I could never hear anything more stupid than what I heard yesterday. Well, all right, you just trumped me today. So there you
yeah.
go.
Oh,
that
my
doesn't,
gosh.
That is nuts. No.
Yeah.
God has designed the body to require nutrition.
Exactly. Exactly. And I told her, I don't think that's true, but I was going to call. And,
well, no, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and she's had MRIs. She's had CAT scans on her lungs, and her lungs are clear, but she gets up and she runs out of breath very quickly after moments of just walking.
Well, and that's what I read from that research last night. It says patients that have low levels of thiamine will need to consciously control their breathing so they don't run out of air. That's what happens when you're low in B1. That's what it was saying from that coronavirus study.
Okay.
Very, very interesting.
Where is that study at so I can send that to her?
I'm going to have to... Well, here's what I did last night. I Googled sleep apnea and B1 deficiency. That's where I got it. I'm sorry I don't have the study
that's
memorized.
Okay.
But it was a study. I mean, you heard the woman that just called in. She said she stopped taking her fibromyalgia medication.
Oh, my God.
And her
pain's
gone away just with B1. I'm going, okay, I can't make this stuff up. Why would I not believe her?
Right.
And so as a person ages, here's the real deal right here. There may be a shade of truth to what the guy is saying, but let me rechange or reword everything. I go into stores just like you do, and I see little older ladies that look like they're barely able to move, and what do they purchase at the register? Honey buns, 3 for $1. Well, you know as well as I do, there's not a drop of nutrition in a honey bun that's worth anything to promoting strength or vitality. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
And so one of the reasons why I'm so hardcore about eating real foods is it's the only way to feed the body the very thing it needs.
Right.
I had a woman that I talked to on the phone yesterday, and this is her story. She said, hey, she said, my back has hurt so bad for so long. All I suffer with is horrible back spasms. And she was telling me she took humic and fulvic acid. And humic acid comes when you have mushrooms in a garden or in the soil. It just breaks down dead trees, you know, wood or wood chips. And so they give off what's called humic acid. And I thought to myself, hey, what this means is when you eat vegetables from a garden where there's a bunch of wood chips in a garden, you're going to get humic acid. But she said, you're not going to believe this. She said, all my spasms and my severe back pain is completely gone just from taking humic and fulvic acid. And these are the acids that are produced when you have a living organism like a fungus or a mushroom that just naturally grows on wood chips and breaks it down to turn it back into the soil.
Wow.
It can't be that difficult to figure out.
Right.
And so all these things are true, but your friend with the lung problems, what would be harmful if we... the thing of it is, you know which drugs cause vitamin B1 deficiency? Metformin. You ever heard of metformin?
No.
You ever heard of Prilosec or Nexium acid-blocking drugs? That and alcohol consumption and a ton of sugar. Now, I don't know what she eats, but if she's in her 70s, most likely she's eating sugar.
Right. And so, do you recommend just going all organic with the...
If you can.
Okay. Because we don't know where these vegetables are grown. If they're genetically modified, if they even...
Well, yeah, do that if you can. But even for example, if you went to the frozen food section of the store and they had flash frozen kale or broccoli, I think I would go with that. Even if I couldn't find organic, I would go with something like that, something that preserves more of a nutrient density.
Okay.
We are not living in the Garden of Eden any longer.
No.
Oh, how I wish.
Not.
Wouldn't that be great if we could tap into it just for a week at a time?
Absolutely. Oh.
But we're gonna have to find a way to refortify her, and one of the ways of getting her stronger is by giving her fermented foods.
Fermented.
And so, oh yeah. So if it's called raw sauerkraut or raw pickles, even stuff like goat cheese when it's raw, that stuff's awesome. You ever heard of kimchi before?
I have.
Oh my goodness, that's a superfood, baby.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Perfect. And what was that supplement that you were recommending?
Well, it's called benfotiamine.
Benfotiamine.
You want me to spell it for you?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I had to write it down first. B-E-N, like Ben. F-O. That's probably how I say the word for. I say, hey, what you doing that for? Anyway, B-E-N-F-O-T-I-A-M-I-N-E. Benfotiamine.
Okay.
That is the lipid-soluble form of vitamin B1. And so that tends to be a little bit more critical as a person ages, because you have a weakening or a loss of integrity of the lining of the gut. You have a weakness in what's called the blood-brain barrier. And these are things that can kind of cross that. The thing of it is, all you can do is just take it for a few weeks and see if you're not better off because of it.
Exactly.
I would say, no, it can't hurt anything at all.
Right.
So to have a physician say, nope, you don't absorb your stuff as you age, that's nonsense talk.
Okay.
I started to say it's stupid talk, but that's...
Well, you know, physicians these days are more oriented at appeasing pharmaceutical companies anyway. So they're going to say anything that goes against natural healing anyway.
Yeah, I like all the computers at the pharmacies. Here's what they do. They determine if two drugs are going to have any type of interaction with each other. But I don't know that I've ever heard a pharmacist call me on the phone and say, hey, Dr. Morgan, what about giving metformin to people that causes severe vitamin B1 loss, which leads to diabetic neuropathy? No, you know what the emphasis is on.
Right.
Even I get the same stuff in the mail every single day. Here, Dr. Morgan, buy this $100,000 machine to generate revenue for your clinic. And what it does, it takes care of diabetic neuropathy. And I thought to myself, why would I want to buy a $100,000 machine that costs a ton of money when you could just solve this by walking barefoot, getting off sugar, and taking B1? And maybe K2 and some other things. But God has designed the body to heal. And thank goodness this sweet older lady has got you as a friend to help build her up and encourage her.
Yeah. Well, the issue I'm facing is that she, you know, only listens to doctors. And so I'm a stay-at-home mom, so she's not really taking my advice to heart, but I'm not giving up. So.
Good. Don't give up. Keep pressing on and pressing forward.
Absolutely. Do you have a practice here in Tyler?
Jacksonville.
Oh, Jacksonville?
The reason I'm in Jacksonville is because it's quite a bit more sophisticated intellectually than other towns. I'm sorry, I couldn't do that with a straight. No, Jacksonville's great. No, I'm in Jacksonville.
Okay. Well, I am going to encourage her to come to you and check you out because these doctors are not giving her the answers that she needs. And
you know, the only thing we just need some results. If she starts feeling better, that should speak volumes, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? That's the way that old doctors used to do this. 100 years ago, the only calling card was from a doctor was if he got good results.
Exactly.
Now, they've just bypassed the term call results and feeling better. They just say, your labs are looking a little bit better, so I'm not really worried. But the patient's still going, but I still feel horrible. But your labs look better. Baloney.
Right.
But thank you. Exactly. Thank you so much for your phone call. You're so sweet.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I wasn't trying to put down Jacksonville. It's just, I was just making a joke. That's probably sarcasm, not that funny. Sorry. There's a ton of highly intelligent people here in town. But, you know, every town's the same wherever you go. It's not just that one town has a drug problem. They all do, right? If you'd like to, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
Happy New Year to you.
Oh, good. Happy New Year to you.
Doing great. My daughter has a severe case, or you wouldn't call it a case, but arthritis is developing in her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard you speak of it before. I know it's a calcium buildup. It's what's happening in her hands and fingers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is it, lemons that you recommend to
Yeah, that's one of the things. Lemons are one of the greatest solvents of all time. She could actually rub lemon juice directly on the skin, let it soak in, and then cover her hair, her hands with olive oil afterwards, and see if a lot of that stiffness and pain goes away. But the bottom line is, arthritis is a high acid reaction. There's just too much acid in the body. And so what she wants is she wants to be a little bit more alkaline. That's one of the reasons if she takes the juice of one lemon or a couple of limes every day and adds it to water, she's going to start the process of alkalizing her body.
Okay.
So basically, in my mind, every disease that you could come up with, you could say, what about cancer? Well, that's an acid disease. What about diabetes? What about heart disease? What about emphysema? Okay. Those are all high acid diseases, including infection. And so we got to start the process of alkalizing the body. And the way that you alkalize the body is by eating plant matter that's highly alkaline.
Okay.
So if she could just say, you know what, for the next 3 days, that's one of the reasons why I like fasting. People that have severe arthritis, usually if they fast for 3 days, their pain begins to diminish, disappear, and go away because they give their digestive tract a total break. And when they come back to eating food, if they start with maybe fruit and vegetables for a few days, things go much, much better. But the lining of the gut starts to get broken down, and it leaks all this debris and waste that settles in her hands. And so there's a lot of ways to tackle this, but those are some of the ways.
Okay. All right. She's an avid walker. I mean, she walks every day, and I think that will solve her problem.
It solves part of it. I mean, that's good. It's just not the whole enchilada.
Yes, yeah. All right, I'm gonna talk to her about this.
Well, usually, and this is just my opinion, I can't even tell you how many women I've seen that had severe arthritic hand pain that it was really just a wheat allergy or sugar. So,
okay.
You can take a look at that. She could try not eating wheat for 2 weeks and see if she's magically better.
Okay, all right. No sugar and no wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which that's what okay, I would say. That's what anybody that wants to restore their health, you can't do it by eating large amounts of sugar and wheat. It just can't be done. But thank you so much for your phone call.
You bet. That was good.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Bye bye. Okay, we've got maybe 3 minutes, give or take, plenty of time for a phone call. The number's 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Let me just kind of break it down for you. If somebody said, listen, my hands are killing me, what should I do? Well, we should back up and take pause and start thinking, okay, what are our options? Here we have a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you. Hey, I'm just checking that your protocol for COPD, would that be the same for emphysema?
Yes.
And what is the difference between COPD and emphysema?
Have you seen a person with emphysema before?
My grandmother had it, but I was young, so.
Well, a lot of times they have blood vessels that just stand out like there's no tomorrow. And so if you look at their arms and their hands, it's like they have this water hose size arteries and veins. That's because they're starving for oxygen.
Oh.
So you can get either one of them, but the bottom line is this. The lungs are not in good working order. Probably with emphysema, there's going to be more legitimate damage to the lungs. COPD, that I think is easier to fix. But yes, the same product that I told you about called Infoplex, mm-hmm. it can be extremely valuable for emphysema.
Okay.
Did you have a father that smoked cigarettes?
Yes, but he stopped when I was young.
Oh, man, that's great. See, my father...
And I think it was a pipe. He smoked a pipe.
Oh, I can still... I can still remember the sweet smell of the pipe.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I mean, it smells... It's just kind of mesmerizing, isn't it?
It's a comforting smell, you know, because it was my dad.
Well, you know, one of the reasons it's comforting.
I do remember that.
Well, I remember the smell of nutmeg and probably vanilla spices in my grandfather's pipe. I thought it just smelled divine.
Cheers.
So, yeah, the same protocol is true. And a lot of times if a person stops smoking cigarettes, all this gunk starts coming up and out. And so I'm a huge believer in doing steam treatments for the lungs. And so if you can do steam, what now?
How would an infrared sauna be?
I didn't hear that. Repeat that, please.
How would an infrared sauna for the lung?
I'm sorry. You're totally breaking up. I cannot make out what you're saying. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
If you will, call me back this time next week, and we'll pick up the conversation, okay?
Hold on, I'm right here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, but we're out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, just call back next week. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.